You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to give you a little recap of last week. If you weren't here with us last week, I just went through last week, had a great time. A lot of folks responded. We talked about fear. And people would come up to me and say, how did you know that I'm going through a battle with fear? And I would just think this in my heart. I know that because you're a human being. That's how I know that. All of us are afraid of something. People are afraid of all different things. I've got fears in my own life. But to be able to look at fears, what we looked at in John chapter 4 last week, just want to give you a little recap. I asked you two questions that I wanted you to ponder. What are you afraid of and why are you afraid of it? What are you afraid of and why are you afraid of it? Because the verse of scripture talked about perfect love, the love of God, the love of Jesus, casts out fear. And fear is based in punishment. We're worried we're going to be punished for something, so we're fearful. We're going to pay some kind of price, so we're fearful. But the punishment has been given to Jesus on the cross, and perfect love of Christ on the cross casts out fear. So whenever we're fearful, we say, Lord, I need your perfect love. God, I need to trust in your perfect love, even more to cast out fear. So what are you afraid of, and why are you afraid of it? Well, to give you a couple examples, some of us are afraid of decision-making. Well, why are we afraid of decision-making? Because we're afraid that we're going to hurt somebody's feelings or disappoint them, or we're afraid of being wrong. Some of us are afraid of making someone mad. Why? Well, it might be because you came from a volatile home where when anger came, punishment came, and it was pretty scary. Trusting God. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of trusting God sometimes. Why? Because what if God's will is different than our will? Then that could cause some real problems with things going on. So what are you afraid of and why are you afraid of it? And last week we said, but the love of Jesus can wash those fears away. We'll always struggle, but I can say, God, I want you to have your love deeper in my heart so I can trust in that and not be worried about these things. Well, today we're talking about confidence, being confident. That's where chapter 5 goes. So fear at the end of 4, and then now confident in the beginning of chapter 5. Confident is a big word. Confidence is something we need to really be confident. Have you ever heard the name Satchel Paige? He was a famous pitcher in the Negro Leagues before it was integrated. And he pitched for the Kansas City Monarchs, was his kind of most famous team. And then he went into the major leagues and he pitched in the major leagues. He pitched 64 scoreless innings in a row. 64 scoreless innings in a row. 21 wins in a row. He won 21 games in a row. That's like a whole season worth of wins in baseball. He was amazing. He was an incredible pitcher, and he was very confident. He just kind of made it his policy sometimes. He just would decide. He said, I'm just going to strike out the first three innings of batters. So he'd just go up, and he'd strike out 9 people in a row. Bam, 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 bam. Just knock them out. True story. He would walk out on the mound, and he would tell the infielders to just sit in the dugout. He would tell the outfielders, come out to the field, but sit on the grass behind the mound. Can you imagine how mad that would make the batters? The infielders are sitting in the dugout just watching. The outfielders are sitting behind the mound on the grass. And Satchel Paige would get ready, and he would just throw strikes, and he'd strike out the side, and there'd be no need from it. My friend, that is confidence is what that is. When you tell everybody else to sit down, but you're going to stand up, and you're going to get on the mound. And let me tell you what, Jesus Christ is on the mound of your life. God is the one that's throwing the pitches for you. He can strike out the enemy at any time, every time. And to be able to knock that out and to throw strikes across the plate. So we want to understand the confidence we can have in Christ. Look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Confidence. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. This is how we know that we love God's children, when we love God and obey his commands. Verse 3, for this is what love for God is. Isn't that a great, okay, what is love for God? What does it mean to love God? This is what love for God is, to keep his commands. And his commands are not a burden, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. Confidence. And this victory, confidence that has conquered the world, confidence is what? Our faith. Who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Where is our confidence found? John chapter 5, verse 1 gives us the beginning point of it. The beginning point of it is this. It says that those who believe, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, has been born of God. Notice that it's very clear about how a person becomes a Christian. Very clear about what it means to be saved. It doesn't say everyone who goes to church is born of God. It doesn't say everyone that's a good person is born of God. Doesn't say everyone who is nice is born of God. Doesn't say everyone who doesn't cuss is born of God. Everyone who's pure in their thoughts is born of God. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ to be the Messiah is born of God. I remember when I was thinking about the things of God before I became a Christian and just trying to figure this whole thing out, I asked somebody, I said, what does it mean to be a Christian? What's this whole thing about? Because I'd heard this phrase, born again. And they said, well, there's kind of two groups of people. There's like born again Christians, and they're like really on fire and really kind of crazy. And then there's like normal Christians, and that's kind of like us and the ones that really don't go to church much. And, but they believe in God and they celebrate Christmas and Easter, but we don't really pray or read our Bibles or do things like that. And I was like, I don't know a lot, but that just doesn't sound right, you know? And what happened or what's true is in the scriptures, there's only one kind of Christian, and it's the one that's born again. Because we're born of our parents, of our mom, but we've got to be born of the Spirit so that we could step into a new reality of heaven. So born again is not a Billy Graham term. Born again is not a Baptist words. It's not a Protestant words. It's actually found in John chapter 3. John, who wrote 1 John, also wrote the Gospel of John, and he talks about you must be born again. Born again is this, that you believe in Jesus Christ. Watch. That his death was your death. He paid for your sins. So I say, Lord, I want your death to be my death because I don't want to die for eternity. I want to die right now. Your cross be my death. And I want to be born again to live for eternity in heaven. So now the Holy Spirit comes to live in my life. So Jesus is our Savior. By placing our belief in him, not going to church, not doing the right thing, not being a nice person, but by placing your belief in him. So it looks like this. Lord, I know that I've sinned. I know I've done things wrong. You died on the cross to pay for those sins. And I believe your death was enough to wash me clean and to be my forgiveness. So I want to ask you, Jesus, to be my payment and to live in my heart. That's not Protestant talk. That's Bible is what that is. I just read it to you in the first verse of chapter 5 here. Whoever is born, whoever believes in Jesus is the Christ, has been born of God. Born again is what that's talking about. Born of God. It's the clear statement in 1 John of how a person has a relationship with God. Not church, not works, not religion. It's born of God. Now, we've been using this chart, if you will, this picture, if you will, talking about in 1 John that the whole Bible is about relationships. First, it's about our relationship with God. It's about my relationship with myself. And then it's about relationship with others. That the rain falls into the reservoir of my heart so that I can have rivers that flow to others of love, that I can show love to them. Verse 1 is talking about the rain. It's talking about trusting Christ as Savior. And when that rain falls in your heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you and it fills up the reservoir. So now you know your spiritual gifts. You know how God's wired you. You know who you are in Christ. And now you're filled up and the overflow of all this rain then pours out to others. Only secure people can love. So I trust God with the rain to fill up the reservoir of my heart so now I can pour it out. I don't know how many sermons I preach, but I believe God's got another one for me and he's going to give it to me as I seek him and go for it with him. I know that the rain will fall so that I can have a heart so that I can pour out reservoirs for you. I know that God provides so I can be a giver. I know that the Lord will give words so I can trust and give words out. Trusting in the rain and then that rain results in our love for other people. Look at verse 2 and look at verse 3. This is how we know that we love God's children. When we love God and obey his commands, for this is what love for God is, to keep his commands, and his commands are not a burden. If you love God, you're going to love others, is what he's saying. If you love God, you're going to follow his commands. True life starts with the reign and salvation in Christ. That's what we just talked about. True life starts with the reign and salvation in Christ. But it takes another step. Here's the next step. The reign will be revealed in our reservoirs and our rivers. So the reign will be revealed in our reservoirs and our rivers. It'll show, the reign will show itself in my heart, obeying his commands, and in the rivers going out to loving other people, right? So it says, oh, I love Christ, and they don't have a filled heart, and they're not loving other people. Well, then there's a problem with that. We love others well by keeping his commands. We love others well by keeping his commands. John, the writer of 1 John, also said in the Gospel of John, if you love me, you will keep my commands. He's saying the same thing right here. See, faithful love brings free-flowing rivers. If I'm trusting in the faithful love of God, it's going to bring free-flowing rivers out to loving other people. So the rain falls, the reservoir my heart fills in salvation, and now I'm able to love other people by following his commands. And we'll talk about in a second, his commands aren't burdensome. You know, it's one of the commands that he gives us is to love other people, to support and to give and to declare missions and to be able to take the word to the world. That's one of the things. Last week, we had our world mission offering. This is going to be a little exciting 5 minutes of our message here tonight. And we had the world mission offering, which was absolutely incredible. We came with our envelopes. We came prayed up. We came ready to go. And we were able to then put on the altar at all of our campuses to be able to raise money and to say, we want to help support world missions, things happening in our state, yes, in our nation, yes, and then also in the world, being able to send that out. Well, let me tell you, I want to tell you about what happened last week. So you ready? Here's what happened last week. First of all, let me give you, before I give you the amount, the goal that we were trying to raise was $1,150,000. Is that incredible? In one day, we said, we're going to change the world, and we're going to raise $1,150,000 in one day. We did that last week, is what our goal was. Now, let me tell you this. The number of people that were a part of it that gave to the World Mission Offering was 2,526 people. Can we get a little applause for that? That's awesome. To put that into framework for you, 2 years ago when we did this, 700 people participated. Now, 2 years later, 2,526 people participated. Now, this is even better. The number of people that were brand new givers, new givers to our church. I'm not saying they've never given anywhere, any place, any time. I'm sure they're generous, great people. But new givers, brand new givers to our church in the World Mission Offering, 354 over all campuses, new givers to our church. Is that incredible? Hey, we really want to cheer for you because that's a hard step right there. Many of us have been given a long, long time. To make this first step, you go, ah. But what is it? I trust the rain so I can let the rivers flow. I know that God provides so I can let the rivers flow. So that's what it is. So now let me give you, you ready for the grand total? Here's the grand total of what we've raised. Last week, we raised $1,569,664. Yeah! Woo! That is awesome. We literally changed the world last week. We do it every week. $1,569,000 and $1,569,644. Now, I just want you to know, this number has been driving me crazy though, okay? See if you can see why. Because I'm like, somebody has got to give another $336 to even this thing out, right? My type A has been going nuts all week long. So I'm like, and then we'll get this thing. It'll be 570 like this, on and on and on. So I just, in the first service, I kept looking at that. I said, Kelly, that's my wife. Kelly, we're giving the $336, okay? So what we've already given to that. But we went ahead this afternoon on PushPay, on the little app that I got on my phone, which you all should have too. I gave $336 more dollars to be able to do that because it's just going to drive me crazy to not have that even, which is just good. So now it's finally even, okay? But you know what's going to happen this week is some of you are sitting there and you're like, I totally forgot. I wasn't here last week. I just wasn't a part of it. So it's open for the next 2 weeks, okay, to be able to just see what God will do on all those sort of things. We don't want anybody to feel guilty. We want everybody to feel invited is what we want. But let me tell you the best number. This is my favorite number, okay? I mean, the money's awesome. The new givers are awesome. Let me tell you my favorite number, though. My favorite number is this. Over $7,000 was given by our preschoolers in our church. Is that great? Over $7,000 given by our preschoolers in our church. Now, you know, $7,000 for $1.5 million, I mean, you know, it's. Here's what I love about it. That means there was a conversation between a single mom, single dad, a mom and a dad that are married, whatever the context is. Some mom, some dad, single or married, said, hey, buddy, what are we going to do about the World Mission Offering? What's God leading you to do? And that little guy or that little girl, literally we had stories of kids breaking their piggy banks, asking for more chores. The preschool ministry looked like they were running an arcade. We had so much change up there trying to count all that. And all this stuff that's happening, some parent had a discipleship moment with their kid.
That's right.
Single adults, file that away in your mind. And they talked with that child about what are you going to give and what's it going to be a part of your life. And I love the thought that preschoolers are learning about missions and what it means to give. Not just wait till you got a job and when you make money and then you can give. Man, it's a whole lot easier to give $4 than it is to give $4,000 over here and be able to grow and to do that. So if you missed your opportunity, if you're like, oh man, I'm a parent and I did not talk to my kids at all about it. Pastor Greg, you're killing me. You're killing me right now, turning the knife. I'm not trying to do that at all, not in the least. You got another opportunity, just have that conversation and sit down and say, hey, what are you gonna do? This is a great opportunity that we have and we'll see God do some great things. So these numbers are incredible. Let me show you where all this money is going to go. I showed you this before. We've been showing it to you for a month, but let me show it to you before just to, again. So that's the goal, to be able to give to that. That $1 million will support 17 missionaries for an entire year. We're putting 17 missionaries on the field for an entire year, which is great. And then church planting with the North American Mission Board and then things happening here in our own state to be able to have. Then if we surpassed our goal, this is what we were going to do. And we're going to do every bit of that and another $75,000 right now. And we're just where we are today. So we're going to be able to do all those things. You can read those and see those. You and I are a part of something incredible. And I want you to hear this, taking it back to the verse of Scripture. His commandments are not burdensome. Does any of this that I'm talking to you about, does this feel like a burden? Are you like, oh man, I hate going to a church that tries to give money to people. What a sorry church. That's a terrible place. I don't want to get, this is a blessing is what this is. This is awesome is what this is. Preschoolers, that's incredible. So in John chapter 5, or 1 John chapter 5, when it says we love others, how? By obeying his commands. And I want you to know, church, I'm proud of us for loving other people. Money out the door to love other people. That's a blessing. It's not a burden. Verse 3, look at verse 3 again. One of my favorite verses in all of 1 John. For this is what love for God is. What is love for God? To keep his commands. And this is my favorite part. And his commands are not a burden. His commandments are not burdensome. But life can be. His commandments are not burdensome, but life can be. See, here's what happens. Following God is actually very simple, is it not? Mark Twain put it like this. He says, when I read the Bible, I don't understand everything, but what bothers me is not the things I don't understand. What bothers me is the things I do understand. Just do what you know is right. There's never a wrong time to do the right thing. And follow the Lord and just do what you know. And the complexities of the Bible, that'll take care of itself. But to walk in the simplicity, the commandments of God are not burdensome. They're there for your protection. They're there for our joy. They're there for our moving forward and our impact. Commandments, his commandments are not burdensome, but life can be. The things of God is actually very simple, but the things of life are actually very complex. But here's what will happen. If you walk in the simplicity of the commands of God, you'll make it through the complexity of life. If you walk in the blessings of the commands of God, you'll walk through the burdens of life. And God will give you the strength, as I'll show you in just a moment. His commandments are not burdensome. See, but it's not just doing the right thing. It's not just trying to be a good person. It's verse one, remember, of believing in Jesus. See, following Christ in real life requires the Holy Spirit. To love others in real life requires the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you just say, well, I'm just going to do this and I'll just do it in my own willpower. I'll do it in my own strength. It requires the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ died on the cross. A believer in Christ places their belief in his death on the cross. Jesus then lives in your heart through the Holy Spirit. Now you've got the power. It's called the new covenant, the new contract, the new testament, the new deal. That Jesus went to heaven, but he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside our hearts so that we can trust in that. That requires the Holy Spirit. See, there's a difference in being in the batting cage than being in the game. The batting cage is pretty easy to get a hit. You're in the batting cage right now of church. This is the batting cage. Tomorrow is the real game. We've had a blessing to have a lot of baseball players come to our church, major leaguers and stuff, and still do. And through the years, we've had a lot of major leaguers. Well, one of them is a guy named Jaime Garcia, and he was a guy for the St. Louis Cardinals. He was a pitcher, played also for the Blue Jays, played for the Yankees, has, you know, done great guy, came to our church, amazing guy. And so I was with Jaime one day, and we were at a place that had a batting cage, and Jaime was pitching. And so I said, can I get in the batting cage? I mean, how cool is this? I'm going to get to hit against a major league pitcher. So I grab my bat, I put on the helmet, I get in there with all my little league experience, and Jaime starts pitching to me, and I start just crushing the ball. Why? Because he took about 40 miles an hour off his pitches, okay, is one thing. And he threw me meatball strikes right across the middle, right? There's a difference in being in the batting cage than being in the game. If I got in the game in Yankee Stadium with Jaime on the mound, I would not even see the ball, much less would I get a hit, right? Wouldn't happen. Y'all are smiling way too much. Maybe I could get at least a foul ball, okay? But there's a difference in the batting cage and the game. And when we talk about loving people right now, we're in the batting cage. It's easy to say, love people at church. Everybody goes, yeah, love people. Read the Easter code. Sure will, won't miss a day. Appreciate the Bible. Oh, yeah, we never just let the Bible go by the wayside. But this is the batting cage. It's easy to hit in here, isn't it? The game is tomorrow. The game is life. See, it's easy to be loving at church, but it's really difficult to be loving to a continually combative coworker Monday through Friday. It's easy to trust God's plan when you're in the middle of church and I'm talking about it and Pastor Greg's got the Bible open and here we are talking about it. It seems like, man, I'll never sin again. But it's hard when it gets into real life and real temptation and real trials, isn't it? That's the game. That's when it's really on the line. It's easy to enjoy God's presence when we're worshiping with all these talented people up here leading us in worship. But it's difficult to enjoy God's presence when we feel like we're alone and we're the only one that's really going to walk with God. That's hard. This is the batting cage. This is real life when we leave this place for the things that we've learned. Which one is the one that really counts? Which one requires the Holy Spirit of God and not your willpower? It requires God's Spirit in us. That's when it really matters, when we step out and say, God, use me in a great way. God, do your work. I want the rain to flow, the reservoir to fill, and then the rivers to flow out from my life. And that makes the huge difference. I got an email from a friend. He said that I could share it. He sent it this week to me, and he is a member of our church, and he is an oil guy, an energy guy, and he has been stationed in the Middle East right now is where he is. So, you know, Houston Energy, we got everybody's in energy business. It seems like we're all in it, you know. It sinks or swims in our town, whatever you do on energy business. But he has been stationed over in the Middle East. So he sent me an email, and this is what he said. Pastor Greg, I just wanted to let you know that we just finished watching the Houston's First service today online. So he's watching in the Middle East online. So, hey, what's up? And so he's watching. I watched today online regarding the World Mission Offering, and we were very moved to participate online. So he gave as a part of that of giving online. While listening to the message and watching the video that I showed last week from the International Mission Board, I was reminded of the work that Houston's First is doing by supporting us handing out Bibles. So what happens is he comes home for a time. We load him up with Bibles in a different language. He takes them back to the Middle East, and this is what he says. Every time we give out a Bible, which comes directly from the Houston's First Baptist Missions Office, tears of joy flow from the recipient as it is often their first Bible they've ever received. So here's what happens. You and I give, we support the work of God in the church, we fill up the offering plates, we have enough money to buy Bibles, we take those Bibles, we give them to an oil guy, an energy guy, he puts them in his bag, he heads over to be stationed in the Middle East, he then gives Bibles to people as they want them, and they begin to weep and cry because you and I are making a difference, he's making a difference, and it's going out. That's the real game, isn't it? Now listen to this. This is the mission field that Christ has placed us in. Not this is where I'm stationed for the office right now. This is the mission field that Christ has placed us in. As we lead Bible studies, mentor young men and women, and make plans to plant another church in the area. All getting ready for the massive change that God has underway in country XYZ. We meet in a small private location with very high security. Although we know we are protected by the love of Christ, perfect love drives out fear. Remember last week? Please pray for us and for those that have a fear to worship. And that's often what holds people back from attending. And pray for us to be a light to the locals and the expats, which means Americans that are over there, that don't know him. That, my friend, is taking it outside the batting cage into the game, isn't it? And saying, God's placed me in this place for this time, for this purpose. And I need the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're in Houston, just as God's called me to Houston, no shame in being called to Houston. I'm called to Houston. I haven't been called to a foreign mission field. I've been called right here. I need the Holy Spirit, though, to move through me to get those rivers. And what happens with that? Look at verses 4 and 5, and then we're going to wrap up. 4 and 5, here we go. Because everyone who has been born of God, that's placing my belief in Christ, now the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, conquers the world. Confident, Jesus is on the mount. This is the victory that has conquered the world. What? Our church attendance. No, our faith. Verse 5. Who is the one who conquers the world? But the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Victory and overcoming in life are found in faith. Victory and overcoming in life are found in faith. So how do I overcome the sin in my life? By faith in Jesus. How do I overcome my fear that it's never going to rain again? By faith in Jesus. How do I overcome? I feel like my reservoir is getting low and getting dry and cracked. Faith in Jesus to bring more rain. How do I really walk with these rivers going out? Faith in Jesus. How do I, as a preschooler, how do I, as a new giver right here, how do I, as that, what do I do? Faith in Jesus. And that's the place by the power of the Holy Spirit, the new covenant. It's not emotion. It's not willpower. It's not just being the right person, doing the right thing. It's his commandments that we follow because we love and we have faith in Jesus and we believe in him. That points all the way back around to that first verse, remember? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside them. So I ask you, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You're probably a great person or you wouldn't be sitting here at least trying to take another step in your life. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If so, the rain has fallen and in salvation, he's filled your heart and you can have great faith to let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow. Let the rivers flow and let God do his work in your life. I want to close with this last lyrics of a song, and I love this song. I hope that you'll download it when you get home. It's called Confidence. That's the series we're in. Being Confident is our series. Confidence by Sanctus Real. Sanctus Real. So here's what it is. It says this, and I love this song. This is one of those songs I like roll down the windows, crank it up. If I pull up at a light next to you, you're going to look at her and go, man, that's Pastor Greg, and he is really into this song. This is like going after it type thing. And it's the kind of song that my kids go, Dad, you know, those sort of things. Sometimes I even get a tear in my eye. I'm like, yeah, uh-huh. Here's what it says. I'm not a warrior. I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to do. But Lord, with your strength, I've got no excuse, because it's broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense so I can face my giants with confidence. You took a shepherd boy and you made him a king. So I'm going to trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror because you fight for me. I'll be a champion claiming your victory. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense so I can face my giants with confidence. I'm going to sing, I'm going to shout, I'm going to shake the walls. I won't stop until I see them fall. I'm going to stand up, step out when you call, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let me tell you what, Christ is on the mound and you don't even need to get out of the dugout. And you just have a seat behind. You just trust in him. Trust in who he is and the pitches he can throw. And what will happen is you'll see in your life, and I'll see it in my life, the rain will soak us wet so God can just wring us out into a great river for him. And we'll be difference makers and world changers of what God wants to do. His commandments are not burdensome. Do you feel like I put a heavy load on you tonight? Or did I free you up to walk with God and change the world? Be confident in who he is. Father, we come in Jesus' name and we thank you. You are amazing. You are incredible. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity for you to reside in us, to live inside of us. We trust you, God. And we pray, Lord Almighty, that you would speak to our hearts and our lives. If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, if the rain has never fallen in your heart, I want to encourage you to come to Jesus tonight. We'll have folks down front that would love to talk to you. You can pray right there in your seat and say, Christ, Jesus, I want to receive your death on the cross to be the payment for my sins. I want you to be my Savior and wash me clean. Live in my heart. And then the Holy Spirit will reside in you. It won't be up to your willpower, your emotion. It'll be up to God's power through you. If you're afraid of the rivers flowing from your life, can you just look up and see the rain? God will provide. And when he does, it's even more of a blessing when those rivers are flowing. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.